beautiful boy takes us on a harrowing journey through addiction's devastating landscape, where a father watches helplessly as his brilliant son transforms into someone unrecognizable. What happens when your child, who once devoured Dickens at age 6, becomes consumed by methamphetamine? David Sheff's memoir isn't just about addiction. It's about the impossible choices parents face when someone they love is disappearing before their eyes. The narrative unfolds with journalistic precision yet emotional vulnerability, challenging our cultural assumptions about willpower and choice in addiction. How cruel addiction can be in its early stages, hiding in plain sight, masquerading as typical teenage behavior. After an early marijuana incident, Nick seemed to recover brilliantly. His passion for literature and surfing flourished. Father-son surfing sessions strengthened their bond. A mentor named Don guided him through swimming, helping him discover marine biology. College visits showcased Nick's captivating blend of youthful enthusiasm and intellectual maturity. Who could have predicted these promising moments were merely the calm before devastation? The contrast is heartbreaking. A young man thriving in activities from sports to theater, developing sophisticated taste in cinema, maintaining strong bonds with younger siblings, while simultaneously harboring a growing dependency. The discovery of Nick's crystal meth use revealed a crisis far beyond teenage rebellion. PT scans show severe cognitive damage in users' brains, demonstrating that addiction is both a neurological disease and behavioral disorder. While treatment facilities provide initial sanctuary, the transition back to daily life proves treacherous, with 40 to 60% of patients relapsing within their first year. The father's personal history with addiction, including memories of a friend lost to substances at 40, provided sobering context. From meth's wartime origins to its current epidemic, the drug's devastating power became clear as families and therapy confronted the harsh realities of their loved one's recovery. Nick's journey through rehabilitation revealed addiction recovery's complex rhythm of progress and setbacks. Hampshire College provided structure through AA, counseling, and family support, yet relapse remained a constant threat. When it occurred, fears of renewed destruction quickly followed. The Matrix model offered a sophisticated intervention approach, helping patients identify triggers, develop coping skills, and build support networks. Hazelden's 6-month program demonstrated evolution in treatment, allowing patients to maintain normal activities while receiving therapy, creating real-world recovery practice. Parents in Al-Anon confronted harsh truths. Sometimes only imprisonment brought relief. Despite attempting emotional distance, guilt persisted. While factors like divorce and privilege were questioned, addiction's indiscriminate nature became evident. The central challenge remained how to love someone who continues self-destructing and maintain hope through cycles of recovery and relapse. Have you ever noticed how joy feels more intense when it emerges from periods of great suffering? Despite addiction's overwhelming darkness, moments of connection punctuate the narrative. Malibu's beaches become backdrops to shared adventures. Simple pleasures like biking in Venice or watching favorite films offer temporary respite from constant anxiety. Art, movies, and family bonds form crucial pillars in Nick's recovery journey. Yet these moments are always shadowed by fear. Telephone conversations reveal Nick's emotional turbulence, captured in stoic recounts of drug temptations alongside fragile successes like gaining a credit card or buying a secondhand car. The inevitable dread of relapse engulfs a parent's heart, interpreting every missed call as a warning sign. When Nick vanishes, his father's mind races with catastrophic scenarios. When Nick finally reaches out, relief mixes with caution, reminding that recovery's path is fraught with uncertainties. These luminous moments remind us of what's at stake, the human being behind the disease, still capable of love and laughter despite everything. What if suffering isn't meaningless, but rather the crucible in which we discover our deepest capacity for love? The narrative of addiction is often circular rather than linear, periods of sobriety followed by devastating relapses. After a promising recovery lasting over a year, Nick calls joyously after a bike ride. But the next call shatters this peace. There was a party, just a line, then another, words that diffuse any parental solace. 2 years, a benchmark for brain recovery, is broken. The juxtaposition between innocent, ascending siblings and a son lost to addiction created a profound void, especially during family milestones when Nick's absence was most painful. Surrounded by grief, the definition of pain becomes terrifyingly vivid. Still, the mind craves meaning to build bridges to hope. The faith rests on believing that despite drugs' oppressive influence, the real Nick survives somewhere, waiting for redemption. Forgetting theory and statistics leads to a personal conclusion. Attempting anything to save a beloved child is natural. Despite scientific advances, a troubling gap persists between theoretical knowledge and practical application. The field grapples with balancing standardized approaches with individualized care, recognizing that while science provides crucial insights, each person's journey follows a unique path. Beautiful Boy ultimately transcends being merely a chronicle of addiction to become a meditation on parental love's boundaries. The book's message emerges not from miraculous recovery, but from gradual acceptance of life's fundamental uncertainty. A health crisis, a cerebral hemorrhage, becomes a catalyst for deeper understanding that time is finite and self-care isn't selfish but necessary. Art and therapy reveal layers of guilt and shame that entangled both father and son, offering language beyond words for expressing their shared trauma. For parents, the book offers nuanced guidance about discussing drugs with children while avoiding prescriptive solutions, recognizing each family's journey is unique. Recovery is never absolute, and an addict's path remains perpetually uncertain. The epilogue reveals profound reflections. Suffering can redeem extraordinary souls, but for ordinary people, it often hardens them. Acceptance that one cannot control or cure addiction creates space for a renewed relationship based on independence and compassion. What if addiction's greatest lesson is that we cannot control the people we love? We can only love them as they are. In the end, what remains is love's transformative power, not as a cure, but as a constant presence that withstands addiction's assault. This love adapts, evolves, and sometimes steps back, but never abandons. It learns to celebrate small victories without expecting permanent resolution. Days carry more weight as time passes, with a blend of joy, sorrow, and life's inevitability. We see how methamphetamine literally rewires Nick's brain, creating a neurological hijacking that no amount of love or reason can easily reverse. This isn't just another addiction story. It's an exploration of the thin line between normal parenting struggles and life-threatening crisis, offering both scientific clarity and raw emotional truth about what happens when love isn't enough. Isn't this the most profound truth offered? That love persists even when it cannot save? That being present, even when we cannot fix, has its own kind of power? Then in accepting what we cannot change, we find not resignation, but a deeper, more resilient form of hope? The book reminds us that addiction transforms not just the addict, but everyone around them, forcing parents, siblings, and friends to become amateur neurologists, psychologists, and detectives desperately trying to understand a disease that defies simple explanation.